This is Jim Rockford. You're listening to Jonah Radio.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, out here, it's just a little bit
sweet, but I'm
tripping out.
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hanging out with your friends.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Jonah Radio.
Good one, Randy.
Because Dio can't make it, but you know who did make it? Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody. Hail and well met.
And of course, our weekly guest, Neil Mahoney.
Featuring
Neil Mahoney.
That's right. And so thanks for tuning in. This is the show where we talk about music, we play music we like, and we try to redo the soundtrack of our lives and culture through the art of podcasting.
Jonah Radio.
And this is exciting. This is just the three of us this week, and we're getting ready. This weekend is when.
What are we doing?
This weekend you're getting married, Cash.
I'm getting married this weekend. That's right. I thought we had something else maybe planned too. I might have double booked.
Well, we are. We do have our Lost Boys cosplay photo shoot at the Boardwalk in Santa Cruz.
But that's a after the rehearsal dinner
situation. Yeah, exactly. That's during the day we're going to go and we're going to do our Us cosplay, our Jordan Peele's Us cosplay, and then after, of course, I call dibs on Alex Winter's mullet wig.
No, there you go.
Walk down the hall and get
just
it.
Or maybe a saxophone. Maybe somebody wants to stand on a buff with a saxophone. Maybe
that saxophone player has a name that I can't remember. It's a thread among the.
I don't remember any of Us or Lost Boys.
You fell asleep during Us.
I know.
Oh.
Next to the guy who edited it.
Yeah, I'm a bad friend.
I'm glad you finally figured it out.
I was out all day supporting. Socialist presidential candidate.
That's true. That is a good point. Throw a stone in this day and age, huh?
Yeah, talk about us.
Yeah. It's not we, it's us.
It's not them, it's they. So that's very exciting. What's the song that your wife is going to be?
Don't let the sun go down on your grievance.
Ooh.
Is that new?
That was my pick for the slow motion song.
Oh,
yeah, the one that Ron Benway ended up calling me a hack for using Rage Against the Machine.
Well,
and he says like
Ron Benway of Benway Records, your first record store.
Not my first record store. My first radio friend
in the United States.
No, because I worked at
Continental.
Because I worked at Mad About Music with Dave Mello from Operation Ivy and Schlong.
Oh,
and Boyd Wanger from Boba Fett Youth. I worked at their record store up in South Lake Tahoe. But Ron Benway is the reason that if you're upset that I'm still doing comedy, talk to him. He's the one that got me into it. They told me to do it in the first place. He tweeted us saying like my slow motion song walking away from an explosion was a Rage Against the Machine song,
mm-hmm.
and Neil's was of course Daniel Johnston.
Don't let the sun go down.
Which is great. It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want to say that why mine's not hack. It's still cool.
It's just
it's more of an action movie move than an art movie.
Sure, yeah, exactly. And I think maybe just because he doesn't, you know, I used to do this thing every time I would play a band that I kind of liked, he would be like, buddy, you love Jane's Addiction. I go, I don't really like Jane's Addiction. He's like, well, every band you like loves Jane's Addiction. But what's the song that you're going to be walking down the aisle to?
I think we're going straight traditional. Here Comes the Bride.
Ooh. This is the song you should do.
We're still putting it together. Like last night, we were doing drafts.
Here Comes the Bride. Hold up, Cash.
Uh huh.
You're cooler than that.
No, I'm not. No, that. If it's any consolation,
that's a real basic bitch move, Cash.
It's being played by a bluegrass band my mom found at a farmer's market. So that's
okay. That's
taking it up a little.
There's
bit.
Your Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. There's your Santa Cruz right there.
These guys have become regulars.
Farmer's market. Was it like a vending machine at a farmer's market? Just like
these. I think they were just dudes who met at a farmer's market. Yeah.
That's you know, you should have got. Remember when we were playing that cello stuff or the from the Jawbreaker documentary?
Oh, I still have that. Maybe. Yeah.
But also, it's like Cash isn't walking down any aisles. He's just going to be planted there, right?
You still have to walk down the aisle to get to the thing.
Can't you? Like,
you don't get
around?
A song or anything like that.
That
right?
Would,
you it, don't get a song.
I could insist on a song. I mean, we've nailed down the ceremony. That's pre-ceremony. That's all mine.
You know what?
We could do a pre-show. Next, you guys want to do a pre-show at my wedding?
Well, no. Neil and I plan on podcasting while in the middle of your vows because we think it might be kind of a snooze fest.
And, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. So us loudly arguing about semantics of what the other person said in the sentence before would just really like bring some joy to this occasion.
Yeah. But like, you know what we should do? After the next episode we record after the wedding, we'll do an episode about what you should have done. We're going to take a break right now.
Just
with
a notes pass.
Just a real notes pass. We're going to take a break right now with the song called Vegan Donuts from the band Top Nachos. If you want your music played on this podcast, submit it to us, Jonah Radio, RAYDIO at gmail.com. Also, thanks for whoever sent in the little Rockford Files thing. I should really remember the name so I could tell you. Anyway, this is Vegan Donuts by Top Nachos. Yeah!
Now you're kind of tuned in to Jonah Radio. Century Boulevard. Ventura Boulevard.
Ventura Boulevard.
Thank you so much for the new station IDs. Really digging them.
Yeah, Randy Newman's a big... big hero of mine, so yeah. It's really
through. Does he say Ventura Boulevard?
He does.
No,
Ventura.
He doesn't. But this person's a listener, so
yeah.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
You know what I realized the other day as I was driving down the Imperial Highway? He's definitely making fun of Los Angeles because nobody cruises down the Imperial Highway. It's fucking terrible. It's scary. Yeah.
It's that 105.
It's like it runs parallel to the 105.
The whole
yeah.
Isn't it? I thought the whole thing was ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a big debate between Dodger fans and not Dodger fans, because Dodgers play it whenever the Dodgers win at the end of the thing, and everybody's like, yeah, I love L.A., and everybody else that comes is like, you know, this song is making fun of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what was the in the Mr. Show movie Run Ronnie Run? It was the parodist character. They had Daffy Mal Yankin Yankel.
Yep.
Had the and it was just playing in a car. It was like, I loathe L.A.
Your absolute recall for sketch character names is really what's gotten you gotten you places.
Well, that one in particular is probably near and dear.
Yes, the, true.
The
thanks for qualifying it though, Neil.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm here to demote everything.
You know, Neil.
Yeah.
Unless you got more important matters to talk about,
I just wanted to mention one other misinterpreted song.
Yeah.
So AC/DC.
Yeah. They don't. He doesn't say, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy."
Oh, really?
We all know that one, Neil. Oh.
Well, no. There's a AC/DC song called "She's Got the Jack." That like everyone's like, "Oh yeah, she's got the Jack Daniels. She's a real broad." Mm-hmm. But the Jack is like a Australian term for like gonorrhea.
Oh wow.
So I thought it was like going to be like about she's got the Jack. So if you need help with your car, changing a tire.
No, it's like, and then like. I read an interview, I think, with Angus Young, where he's talking about people send us these videos of them coming down the fucking wedding aisle to the song.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know what it means.
God,
like these Harley Davidson weddings are like, she's yeah. got the jack.
Or well, I mean, it still pertains, most likely.
Yeah, man, yeah. maybe.
Man, when that interview came out, what would you consider that kind of
Jonah,
information?
I have a guess.
What is it?
A music news!
Oh, that is a good guess, Cash.
Thank you.
But that reminds me, it's a good time to start the segment we call
Music News!
Yeah, you're supposed to start the music when I say music.
You know? Right. It's time for Music News, where three out of touch dudes... two careening into their 40s, one well on his way into it, talk about the world of music as it stands today in the way that they know how.
Yeah.
First up, Courtney Love.
Oh boy. A mainstay of music news, if I may say.
I think I caught a whiff of it. Oh, parents are coming.
Parents are coming.
Parents are coming.
She took a swing at the Sacklers.
She sure did. Courtney Love says she turned down $100,000 to attend Opioid Heiress's fashion show. Purdue Pharma heiress Joss Sackler. Never trust someone named Joss. You know, she tried to pay a recovering opioid addict.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, because she used to do heroin.
Quite a bit of it, if I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what Courtney Love said to the invite, which is a. I am one of the most famous reform junkies on the planet. My husband died on heroin, way over the limit. They say someone could function with their motor.
Well, yeah,
I'm not saying.
Well,
I'm saying,
did she?
You know,
did
sometimes
she
soaked in bleach, you know, you kind of can't forget some of that stuff. Loose change, dude.
Building seven.
Heroin can't melt steel beams.
Allegedly.
Bungalow 7, which was the bungalow that John Belushi was in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The ginger fucked an ostrich.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't wait until all of our recent history is jumbled into the vague past of our grandchildren, and they remember it like that.
They wouldn't talk about anything seriously. They were just ironic and mashing up everything all the time.
No one had any feelings. It's weird.
I don't know if Mr. Hankey was at the World Trade Center. anyway, she says, my husband died on heroin. And what is it about me that says to Joss Sackler, I will sell out to you? Well, I won't. So good on her for doing that.
Joss Sackler is like a fashion lady, right?
Well, she's part of the family that is responsible for the opioid. Yes, but...
Yeah, they made OxyContin, yeah. But I think...
She's so Joss Sackler is married to David Sackler, whose family owns Purdue. So right, she's the wife of
But she has like a fashion company.
Yes. They got 46 people die a day on this fucking shit.
Yeah. There's a whole documentary about my hometown on HBO.
Oh shit, that's what was it called?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's called fucking Cape Cod heroin, whatever.
That's the whole title? It sounds like it could be the whole title of something out of Massachusetts. I don't know, fucking Cape Cod, people dying heroin or some shit.
Is it related to the chip company? It's the same people, right?
No.
No, the Cape Cod Chips and the Cape Cod Heroin are different. No.
Chips got bought out by Budweiser.
Oh.
But with that said, speaking of Courtney Love.
Ooh, like I said, she's a mainstay of music news.
The Cobain Estate launches Kurt Was Here clothing.
Oh, no.
Kurt Cobain's...
That's a salty banana.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain's estate has launched a new clothing collection called Kurt Was Here as a tribute to the late Nirvana frontman. The new pieces draw from Cobain's extensive collection of sketches and handwritten notes, none of which, as Rolling Stone points out, were edited or resized. So that's something.
Yeah.
The new line is a partnership between Live Nation merchandise.
Whoa. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Boy,
you wiping your ass with your socks.
So Live Nation. Live Nation, they're in with like these third party ticketing agencies, and they keep on screwing people over. Rory Scovel had a great post like today talking about how it's like, and this is known now. This is like, it happened to Metallica. It's like, they give these third-party companies like early access to buying tickets. So by the time the fans try to buy a ticket,
they're sold out.
They're sold out, and they have to fucking pay a whole ton of money.
Shit.
Yeah, they're not. It seems like that particular business is just shitty everywhere.
Yes.
Like, since it's been born.
And so Live Nation merchandise with Cobain's estate business entity, which is called The End of Music LLC, and Francis Bean Cobain is involved in some curatorial capacity.
So,
if she's doing it, I don't give a shit. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's hers.
It's hers. Yeah, exactly. Live Nation expressed their eagerness to capitalize on Cobain's legacy in a statement to Rolling Stone saying, "We believe that the importance of art is exceedingly potent in today's social and political climate."
Suck your own dick.
"And that is the right time to share this collection of Kurt's work with artists, collectors, fans, allowing them to experience Kurt's legacy in a new way and collectively celebrate his lasting impact on the world." Francis Bean Cobain has yet to comment. I'm sure she won't.
Yeah.
Kurt, one of Kurt's sweaters and the smock that he wore at the 1992 performance at the Reading Festival. You know, when he came out in he came out in the wheelchair and he was wearing the smock.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. That just sold for $75,000.
Jesus.
Is
it that sweater? Is it that black and white striped one?
No, the smock and everything. But
okay.
Here's some of his designs. You know, there's one where it's like hand drawn. His face.
Yeah, it's a self portrait as like a sort of almost like a comic look.
Almost like a little Basquiat-y or even a little John Lennon-y there.
Yeah.
One of them is it's like a bunch of just stuff he
which is to say
wrote
amateurish doodles.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. This one, it just has a bunch of stuff he wrote all over it, like all over pattern, cold and wet.
It's all at Barney's.
Oh yes, that's right. It's at bar. It's all like at high end places.
Yeah.
So it's like a $350 T-shirt.
Yeah, this one is pretty great though. Fuck.
This
Spider
lady.
Baby, his little drawing of Spider Baby. I remember that from Montage of Heck.
That looks like somebody made a sweatshirt for a zine.
Yeah, that almost looks like a Sonic Youth design, which he probably was kind of ripping off. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But
again, amateurs doodles.
Yes.
Well. Guys, if you want a discount, I might be able to get $10 off that.
The betrothed.
They're also going
discount.
Out of business.
Yeah. And more.
Ooh.
Kurt Cobain.
Well, was it his birthday this week?
No. Was it?
No. It was somebody else's birthday.
So recently, a Seattle record store clerk discovers a Kurt Cobain royalty check from 1991.
No shit.
Wow. 28 years after the release of Nirvana's Nevermind, fans are still discovering new secrets left behind in the album's wake. Seattle record store owner recently uncovered an uncashed royalty check written to Kurt Cobain 6 months before Nirvana's landmark album ever hit record store. So this is from
Bleach or whatever.
This is from Bleach and the Sliver single, I think probably was out before, right, 6 months before then.
Okay.
And then just like the Jesus Lizard split, I think, was around that time. Okay. So anyway, he got...
How much was it for?
It was for... I think I said it.
I think you did, too.
I think I said it, Cash. I don't know if I did. If someone
write
could,
in
like,
if he said it.
Yeah, write in. Oh, $177.
Yeah, you didn't say it.
Yeah.
That would be a good...
Yeah.
That's I'd cash that if I found that in the and I would if I found it and it had expired, I would call the company. That's a big enough thing where I would
That's yeah, that's they're usually void after like 60 days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But now that check is worth a lot more money probably.
I bet. Did he endorse
it? Oh no, shit, I'm sorry. No. That $177 as a he discovered a money order receipt documenting rent payment Cobain made in 1990.
Oh.
So he was going through like records, and this is probably some of the stuff that Kurt maybe sold or something like that.
Oh, so it was like stuck to the back of a record or something?
Oh.
Gnarly.
Yeah, and like he just was like going through shit and like, yeah, and then so something that was Kurt's. So there was, yeah, there was a money order receipt for his rent. And then the check was for $26.57.
Okay, that one I don't necessarily chase down.
Yeah.
Well, now you put it in a frame and go to Sotheby's.
Sotheby's.
Sub Poppies.
Sub Poppies.
It's the indie rock auction house.
Yeah. We're going to take a break in the middle of this music news segment to bring you a song from Jim Mulligan. And when we come back, less music news about Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love.
I'm Nick Cave. These are the Bad Seeds.
Hi.
Hi.
And you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Thank you so much. So what we just heard was, of course, our good friend Nick Cave reuniting with the Bad Seeds to do
I didn't know there were two of them.
I think they were just like at a bachelor party for one of their roadies or something.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know what we ought to do? Give a little shout out to the boys in Pasadena.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And South Pasadena, please, Neil. It's its own city.
Sorry, it's its own city. Yeah.
But
that's where they get all their...
Music news! It's time to get back into music news. That's right. The only second segment of music news you need in your segmented life. By the way, that last song was Jim Mulligan. The song was Umbrella off the EP She Was Lying.
Pro service backing outs, buddy.
Yes, thank you so much. We just got a couple really quick things to get through before we get to our whole thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Supergrass announced a reunion tour. That's pretty exciting.
That's great.
I can't keep them straight with the other band that starts with Super.
I mean, Super Drag?
Yes.
Super Chunk?
Super Chunk, I got clear.
Okay. Super Drag. Super Drag is the one who sucked out the feeling.
That's the one I prefer.
And Super Grass is I Should Coco. Is their big album? Is that Caught by the Fuzz?
Yeah, Caught by the Fuzz.
They use
that's a good one, too.
That's Supergrass. So you like a song from all of them.
There we go. Neck and neck. They each got one song.
Like, I'm trying to remember the other one.
Each has one song I had on a mix CD in 1997.
That's fucking right on. But yes, the Britpop four-piece known for their 1995 album, I Should Coco, are releasing a... former guest, Blaine Capatch, could not be more excited.
Yeah.
This is his favorite band.
Yeah, that's totally who I would... They're skinny too. Blaine's very skinny.
But the band is heading on the road in February, and
they coming to Los Angeles.
Yeah, probably. Guys,
what's up?
So Tool's most recent album.
Mm-hmm.
People love it.
Oh, I got a good running commentary for three tracks in my Lyft this week when I offered to let a guy charge his phone, and it started playing. And running commentary on three tracks isn't that bad until you realize one of the tracks is 10 minutes and the second one is 15.
Ooh.
It was a long drive.
Yeah, I haven't made it through the album yet.
Drama for a living.
It's not. It sounds like Tool.
Yeah, it sounds like Tool. But also, Maynard not screaming at all in it. He doesn't. He just sings. He doesn't do any of his screaming.
Screaming?
Or yelling, you know? But the
he's
album
got that refined palate now that he's making wine.
He's a wine guy.
That's what it is.
I was talking to these two guys at a bar, and they were saying it's not their best. It's good, but some Tool is better than no Tool.
That is true.
But this the album Inoculum.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's the best one. It debuted at number one, which means it's the biggest rock album opening week in over a year.
Wow.
The last one to do that was...
Jethro Tull.
No, what do you think, Cash?
Last rock... God, I don't know, rock. Maybe...
Foo Fighters.
Is it a Hey band? That they have a chorus that says, Hey!
Home. No, it was. Oh yeah, the folky pop stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Was it one of those?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then there's a seminar. Hey.
Yeah.
Seminar. Oh, seminar.
Who are the guys from New Jersey that slag on Cape Cod?
Oh, Vampire Weekend.
That album came out this year. It was Dave Matthews's "Come Home," "Come Tomorrow."
Yeah.
Which came out in June.
Barely rock and roll.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I'll hear Dave Matthews' band on the radio sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't deny that it's like insanely well done.
Yeah, it's very intricate, very well-written parts.
Like every part is like interesting and weird, and he does weird stuff with his voice sometimes.
Absolutely.
And he the drumming is insane.
And it's not a collection of sounds you would hear a lot, like violin. He brought violin into rock and roll music in a very different way that
yellow
fiddling?
Card much?
Oh.
No, they
if I did, it'd be a red card.
Yeah,
that's a soccer reference.
I remember it's like oh, an emo band couldn't find a keyboard player.
Yeah, or
that's yellow card for me.
Or this guy, he's pretty cool, but he's got like a practice space. He plays violin though.
We'll figure it out, Neil. Yeah.
put some distortion on it? I don't know.
No, it's in.
And that's the thing with the Dave Matthews. Like, they don't have distortion on their guitars. So I'm like, is it a rock
they
and
have
roll?
Like an overdrive. Do I mean, it's folky, rocky stuff.
Yeah, it's,
hey,
it's
too much. But it's a, too much.
It's way closer to like Bella Fleck and the Flecktones than it is to like, yeah. Like,
yeah, but now we're splitting hairs. But it is blues based.
It has that jammy thing to it too, yeah. Where it's just
yeah, it's white guys playing blues based music, so therefore it's rock and roll.
Oh boy,
it's definitely a lot less. Like a lot of those. Jam bands have a sort of Americana thing in it, and I don't feel like they've met. Maybe it's because he's South African. I don't feel like he's an Americana artist.
He's South African?
Yeah, that's why he has that weird accent.
I thought he was from like North Carolina.
Too much. I thought he was from there. Boston.
Oh, I thought he was South African.
No, I think he is South African.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, speaking of Tool, recently, you guys remember when. Justin Bieber announced that he posted an Instagram story of himself listening to Tool, and then Maynard's response was hashtag bummer. Now that I think the album's doing well and he's feeling okay about his place and stuff, he's responded again on a radio interview with Lowe's Beats Run radio show. He's probably a good kid, Keenan said. It's the crap that surrounds him. I know the ocean of shit that's going to follow because he couldn't just be a quiet Tool fan. He had to say it out loud. And now I know the flood's coming from the people that just don't get it and the people that think they do. And they're going to argue with each other and it's going to be stupid and it doesn't matter.
Oh, God.
That is the most spot on thing.
Yeah, man. You put that on fucking T-shirts with the Twitter logo on the front and that on the back and just send them out to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We are a divided nation and it's... Beavers and
go.
Tools.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
Beavers and Tools.
Hold
it's
on.
The
get
two
the
sides.
Soapbox.
Here comes Cash.
Oh, I thought I was going to get the. All right. Calling for a revolution.
I got it.
In the middle
Cash
of a podcast.
A very large man that we all want to live for a long time.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh, I hit the post with that one. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
quick sidebar. Do you remember the night that Zach Galifianakis was at the M-Bar? And he had me just play that whenever I wanted.
And you were timing it like a motherfucker that night.
Well, fucking, he started talking to the guy from Survivor that was in the audience.
Oh, that's right.
Like, his name is like Johnny Scumbag or something.
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that's when I was like, one day there's going to be a thing called podcasting. I'm going to have that
it's
guy.
It's really where you sparked this whole thing, Neil.
Yeah, it's where soundboard became my art.
Guys, recently they figured out that streaming now accounts for 80% of the music industry's overall revenue.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
80%.
That thing that nobody quite pays for.
Yeah. It's like, are like Spotify, are they categorized as music industry?
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
a tech company that fucking sucks money out of people and doesn't pay the people that create the things that they sell.
Yeah. Well, they're saying music continues to be a key driver of internet culture and engagement around music and artists powers much of the popularity of many social media and technology platforms. Said the RIAA president. And
that guy's a dick sucker. And I'm just saying it.
But there's nothing wrong with sucking dicks, Cash.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
I appreciate everyone who likes doing that sort of thing.
No, they give back to this world in ways that I haven't up to this point.
But at the same time, guys, I'm going to just divert out of this problematic and possibly...
Good one, Randy.
I meant it in a bad way, not a good way.
At the same time, physical media have also been seen as renewed growth. After years of declining sales, vinyl sales are up 5% this year.
Oh,
no small thanks to the "You Can't Call Me Al."
You think that's the whole 5%, or just like 2 or 3?
5% is 500 records from Mike Park out of his fucking mom's garage. Vinyl sales are 5% this year, generating $224 million in revenue this year so far.
Wow.
While CD sales have grown 5%.
Really?
Now accounting for $485 million in 2019. Where is the cassettes here? Hey, can't see it.
I have a few cassettes I want to play now. I don't have a cassette player anymore.
I can give you a cassette. I have copies of my record, and then also Colleen Green's cover album of Dude Ranch.
Oh, really?
Tune, yeah.
The one I have right now that I want to play is J.R. Slayer, because I don't have access to that otherwise.
Yeah, that was the thing about like the record release show where I was like trying to sell stuff, and then fucking Dave Lyons is giving out free shirts, and Cody Vodolato is giving out
free tapes.
Yeah. The Get Up Kids, former guests, the Get Up Kids, after kicking out or parting ways with their keyboard player, James DeWeese, who was, of course, also Reggie in the Full Effect.
Get off the cross, dude.
They have now split ways, and the Get Up Kids are now going on a world tour.
Fun.
So hopefully there will be a moment where we can have our old buddy back over here to... just redo some of his sound drops.
Yeah, we just need this a little
Get
cleaner.
Get off the cross, dude.
Yeah, yeah, somebody says something right over the top.
I saw. When was it? Oh, I started a new job today, so I had to set up Slack again, which is like a office chat kind of a device. And I needed to put a profile picture in, so I went through my own Instagram. Then I forgot that I basically deleted all of my self-portrait type Instagrams because. You know, you get in the mood and you go like, oh, what the fuck am I doing? Take all these pictures of me down. So I took all of those down. But I did see the picture of Matt Pryor holding a guitar at the old Jonah Radio studio.
Oh, hey.
And you're holding a mic up to the guitar, and Cash is holding a mic up to him.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was our first live
set. We should grab that tune.
Okay. Yeah, dump it on the air.
Yeah, dump it on the air.
Yeah.
That old radio saying. Dump it on the air.
He's one of the only people that's played live for us.
Yeah, we also had...
Oh, you have the album from the Max Fun.
Yeah, but then there was also AJJ, but then that was in the last episode. That was the last episode.
Oh.
Yeah. Right.
REM have announced a massive 25th anniversary reissue of their 1994 album Monster, in which they remixed it. They remastered it, but they also remixed it. It said the original 1994 version was dense in guitars and feedback with the vocals mixed within the sonic wall. But on this alternative version, the guitars are pulled back and the vocals are pushed forward to create a more open sound and showcase often revealing lyrics. I always remember on Entertainment Tonight them talking about Monster and like saying like it's like we needed this to be a loud record.
REM on Entertainment Tonight.
REM on ET.
That's okay. I guess they covered Justin Bieber at the time.
It was an anticipated album.
Yeah.
But like I remember him, like one of them talking about, I think it was the guitar player going like, it's like, yeah, we need this to be a loud album because we didn't want to just be like the shiny, happy people or Losing My Religion guys forever. We wanted to show everyone that we can rock.
Yeah. And then like that's when heavier grunge stuff was.
Yeah, exactly.
Too. So they needed to compete.
And that CD was used everywhere. That was I think the biggest selling CD of that year.
Really?
Because it was everywhere for like $5. So everyone bought it because of What's the Frequency Canada. Now, here is the thing. I have the two different versions of... I'm going to ask you guys what you think is...
Little A and B?
Little A and B. I'm going to ask you guys what you think is the remixed version and the original version. All right, here's What's the Frequency Canada A.
Tough to know until the vocals come in, since that's the despair. What's the frequency, Kenneth? Is your Benza dream? That's pretty vocal forward.
It is.
I'm going to say that's newy.
That's newy?
I would say, I'm going to say this is the oldie.
All right, let's listen to B.
I'm also wearing headphones, you're not.
I don't need no fucking headphones, B.
There we go. What's the frequency,
Kenneth? Yeah, I think this is the new.
Oh, no. In this game, Neil is correct.
Oh, thank you for limiting that.
It seems as if the headphones were a hindrance
in this
game that came up out of nowhere.
Or it might be you guys suddenly discovering that the guy that's been engineering the podcast for a couple of years has hearing problems.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the best point of it all, Cash. That's what we revealed.
Did we put an episode?
Put your knife away.
That was all panned to the left or something. Wasn't that?
Well, some band was like, thanks for playing us. By the way, half of our music was being played on the thing. Don't let that distract you. If you want your music played on this on this show, send us jonahradio@gmail.com now on the Sklarbro Country Network. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to get into our theme. This song is from Baggage, which is John Diener's band. They are going on tour. They're going to be playing at the Fest coming up in October. This is E350. This is a song off their new album, Life in Misophonia, and it's like it's essentially a version of a song that Piebald had a song called King of the Road, which was like an ode to their school bus touring vessel that they had for a long time,
okay. Uh-huh.
Or their yellow van or whatever. They kind of basically they had like an old van that broke down. They didn't have one for a while, and then they found like a newer version of that same van. So this is an ode to their old van, E350, from Baggage. On Jonah Radio.
Some time with you. Maybe I can waste some time. Maybe I can waste some time with you. Maybe I can waste some time.
I crumble. This is Bart Simpson, dude. And you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Hey, okay.
We are back.
So now is the time of the show where we get into our themey, gamey, thingy thing.
The thing we don't have an thing we do.
Anyway.
Kind of the thing we do.
The thing we do.
Make-em-ups and justifies.
Yes, exactly. We like to try. It's a good excuse to try and play music that we don't get submitted, but we really like.
Yeah.
And so, Neil. Drop that beat.
Which one?
The one. My God, we were doing so good. Oh. All right.
Hey.
Now, so essentially, it's the end of summer officially,
mm-hmm.
which I even made some joke on like Instagram. I was saying like, it's officially the end of summer, guys. And some guy's like, officially the end of summer? Like, yeah. I hate the internet. Anyway, yep. It's like, the end of summer.
In reality, it's like 20th or something of September, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the solstice.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about, but everybody's going days. Back to school. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But, Labor Day, no more white pants.
So, if our lives were a coming of age movie that took place in the summer, mm-hmm. what would be the little bit of a speech leading into the end song going into the credits?
Okay, well, that wasn't part of the original.
It always is.
Yeah, there's always.
Well,
a,
I was
there's
just
going to
describe the movie.
Okay, we could do that too.
Speech.
That's fine. That's fine.
Well, you can do the speech. I'll describe the movie, and then you do the speech right before.
How about
the song
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll kick it off, and I got a little bit of both, and then you guys can build from there.
Great. Cash on the car in the car on the way here.
Neil, help me
while
out.
While driving.
He said, what happens during the summer? What kind of movies happen during the summer? And I was like, fucking camp movies happen during the summer. So this is a story of
feel free to like just cue yourself, okay?
Gotcha.
So spacebar. Because I want before you get into it, I just want you to be able to like cue it yourself, okay?
Okay. So my idea, it's a movie. It's a camp movie. It starts out, it's a guy at a comedy club. And he's going up. He's trying to get past. He lives in New York City. He's trying to get past at a comedy club. And this guy comes up to him right before he's going on. He's like, hey, don't bother me. Don't bother me. He's like, I want to tell you about a gig. Gig that I got up in the Catskills. He's like, you want me to go to the fucking Catskills to do fucking stand-up comedy? No, I'm about to get past at this club. It's nothing but fucking sunrises and great times in New York City from now. And he goes up and he fucking eats it.
Oh, no.
Dies on stage. Does not get past. In fact, everybody just does not laugh.
This is the end of the third act?
No, this is the beginning of the movie. And he goes back out to the guy and he says, okay, I'll take this. What is it? Like a Catskills one-nighter? He's like, no, you'd be up there for a couple of months. He's like, a couple of months? That's great. I can get out of the out of town.
So this is Dirty Dancing for stand-up.
Yeah, I can get out of town. And then he's like, great, let me go. He's like, you'll be going with these guys. And he's like, these guys? I know these guys. These are comics. We're doing like a month together. This is going to be great. We're going to hang out.
Is this the Magnificent Mr. Maisel?
Oh, it might be. Shit.
Keep going.
I don't watch that trash.
They get in the car. They drive up there. They pull up to this Catskills style ranch, sort of whatever the fucking Catskills things are, those resorts things. And he's like, oh, this is nice. It's kind of empty. Does the season start? And he says, yeah, you should go up and talk to the entertainment director. And they go up to the entertainment director, and it's a legendary old Catskills comedians. And he's like, guys.
Oh, Slicky Duvall.
It's Slicky Duvall, played by Blaine Kabach in age makeup. And he
necessary?
Maybe. All right. I get that. No.
Okay, no. I'm into this.
All right. We're about to
I love showbiz movies.
We're about to hit the He says, "Great. You guys cabins will be over there and don't worry, the kids will be here soon." He said, "Kids?" He says, "Yeah. Your counselors at the Catskills Camp for Comedy for Teens.
The KKKT."
Yeah, exactly. So these guys, all of a sudden, instead of having the overnights and the wonderful times at this resort, which they can see around them at the other resorts, they have to entertain children and teach them how to be funny.
And constantly justify the fact that the camp is called KKK.
Yes. Yeah. That
lowercase t.
Yeah. That's a runner. It's a low runner. And the whole thing is they get kids and they teach them how to get confidence, yeah. And like the kid that comes in.
Oh, we're the students of the Triple KT. Yeah. Oh, you know me. I make funny things all the day, and I also drink tea.
And then
I'm most likely Jewish.
Probably. at that camp, it's the lot of Catskills camps. Anyways.
Oh, the Triple KT can't be far from me because I love my friends at the Triple KT. Oh.
You're looking at us like we're supposed to know the lyrics.
I was hoping someone was going to jump in.
But they hate it, and then they.
Oh, you know me, and I don't know why I'm making it more cocky. Oh, you know me, the Triple KT, making laughs all day.
We dwee.
That's the best part about being like a Cockney person is that you can just rhyme into something and you're able to make sense.
Yeah, bend your vowels.
Well, they hate it, but then they find out the camp director is going to lose it, and then the camp director dies, and then they are about to walk away, and one of the kids.
Cash, where's the fat kids camp? Is that the sequel?
Well, there's a fat kid there.
Okay.
And the twist with the fat kid is he comes in thinking he's going to be a physical comic.
Hey, shut up, Neil.
Thinks he's going to be a physical comic.
I just have a feeling this is still the first act.
No, we're second acting.
Like, we haven't gotten to a turn. There's no crisis. There's no problem to be solved yet.
Well, I don't have that.
He's just blue skying here, buddy.
I'm just blue skying. I like that term. The fat kid thinks he's going to come into a physical
wrong
comic.
Era, wrong
they turn him into like a Mort Saul guy. Like, yeah. He's just doing topical stuff.
He's reading his school newspaper.
Yeah. There's an Anthony Jeselnik type comic character that teaches the kids how to insult all the rich kids around there. Yeah. And then there's some sort of thing where they overcome something, and then they give a speech about how comedy isn't really about making people laugh; it's about touching people. And then it cuts.
And then it
cuts to black, and over the black, you see that the counselors that went up there came back to New York, got really successful, and then died of a cocaine overdose.
Well, I was working on my farm about 1982. Pulling
up some corn. When does the movie take place?
1987.
Was the Catskills still a thing in the...
No, not at all. I think there was still a thing.
That's why they're leasing those cabins out to teens.
Yeah, exactly. This is like the post-Catskills.
So it's an 80s sex comedy.
Yeah, it's an 80s sex
comedy camp.
Comedy.
I don't like the sex comedy aspect now that it's teens.
Well, it doesn't... You know, it's counselors.
So this is Bales of Cocaine by the Reverend Horton Heat.
So all these, like, middling comedians are... Which I assume are all dudes are all fucking each other at this camp.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no. There's okay. There's a weight loss camp. There's
rolled up suit sleeves, just like gripping and ripping.
Yeah. There's the insult comic that teaches them how to insult. There's the prop comic that ends up teaching them shop. There's the.
I look forward to reading this 5,000-page script.
No, that's why we have these. So I don't sit at home and write a 5,000-page script about a comedy camp.
God damn. Well, that was really good. Now I'm like I have this bad...
I took coming of age as a very different thing than everybody else did.
I guess I was just going for the tone. I didn't really think about like
a plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the speech where it's
well,
you can do the speech. I don't have a speech. I just have like very earnest first thought, best thought stuff. You want me to go first?
So yeah, I want you to go first. I'll try to think of something.
So my movie's autobiographical. It's about growing up on a golf course and playing night golf.
Yeah.
Which is like you go and you buy these like $3.
Do you want bed music with your thing?
Oh, you got something?
Oh, you got the song.
Well, no.
Okay.
I think the lyrics come in too soon.
Okay.
So you buy these like little shitty plastic golf balls
glow in the dark.
It has a hole in it. You put a glow stick in it.
Oh,
then you sneak on these like golf courses that are like $170,000 a year to join, and then we would just like rip around and golf at night. And it's kind of like seeing fireworks because you can just whack this ball and it goes fun and it goes far.
It does.
I meant to say goes far, and like it starts out bright and then it dims, but then you can find it in the woods because you definitely hit it into the woods. Because it glows. And then we'd swing on rope swings over the kettle ponds that would be on the golf course. And,
Occasionally we would go on vacation in summer and rent a place by a golf course. And I remember having the most fun as a child after that, after it goes down. It's just, there's something about it.
It's super fun because, like, if it's a hilly kind of course, the sprinklers are on every night at, like, 5:30.
Yeah.
And then you can just run and it's like a giant slip and slide. Mm-hmm. And you can just, like, fucking skid down. And all these chemicals are getting absorbed into your skin and your mouth. And it's very bad for you. And it's why I have mental illness now.
Is that why?
Well, lead paint too.
There's a lot of things you bring up, which is why you have mental illness.
Got the conkeys. Chemicals from golf courses.
Is there anything else that you could think of that you do currently?
Maybe your dad experimented on you with dental stuff.
Ooh.
No.
Did he ever use like the cheap stuff?
Because you did nitrous.
No, he didn't have nitrous, but he did.
What a fucking dick.
He filled my cavities without Novocaine to teach me a lesson.
What?
Yeah. About what?
About getting cavities.
Oh.
I mean, oof.
Yeah.
But that's also a practice for people who don't want Novocaine. It's called the slow drill. You just drill slower, and it's not...
Because it's the vibration on the...
Yeah, it's like... It's just a different way to do it.
It's just a scrape.
It's not crazy, but... The funny thing was that because it was my dad doing it, I was not embarrassed at all to scream and fucking kick him while he was doing it.
Ugh.
And it was a very small office, so the people in the waiting room were fucking going nuts.
You and Miles Davis. Fathers were dentists.
But I don't know. It's probably somewhere in this story, like someone dies, and then I'm sitting at the rope swing. It's been cut down because someone died breaking their neck on the rope swing. I'm in a suit, just came from the funeral. I throw the rope over the tree, making a new rope swing. And then I get up, walk away.
And then that's you, like, you put out a new generation of kids to break their necks.
Exactly.
The killer has struck again.
Yes. Jacking the Ball by Sea and Cake.
One of my favorite songs.
That's a great song.
I got to open up for Sea and Cake.
Huh?
I know I've mentioned it before, but my band, Dos Muchachos, got to open up for Sea and Cake.
Oh, no,
they were not very stoked. They were brought out to Hawaii. I picked them up from the airport, and then I took them to my friend Dave Noodle's apartment, who he lived in with his wife. And they're like, what is this? I was like, I don't know. This. He's the promoter. He just said you guys were going to be crashing here. They're like, take us to a hotel now.
Oh, boy. Ooh.
Yeah. They were not stoked on the easygoing nature of Hawaii punk shows. And then we were playing in the main room, and they were in the bar looking real bumped.
Oh boy.
And then afterwards I was like I'm really excited to see you guys, because I was like, just started getting into them. And the guy was Sam Precuff. It was like one of my favorite drummers.
He wasn't the drummer, he was the singer.
Oh, who's the drummer?
John
McEnroe.
McIntyre.
Yeah, John McIntyre.
Tortoise.
Yes. So like I was next to him, I was like, really excited to see you guys. Big fan. He's like, yeah, well, you can't really tell.
Oh, Jesus, what?
And he's like, you're just really loud. I was like, we don't have a lot of bands like you guys here. It's Hawaii. Like, everyone's bored.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
It's a good summertime jam.
Yeah.
We would always bust it out in high school when school got out and stuff.
How old is that album?
94.
Oh, wow.
It was the year after this movie that had a great soundtrack came out.
Terminator 1993.
94 was the year of Jacking the Ball and the Sea and Cake eponymous album.
Mm-hmm. What's the soundtrack for the movie?
The movie was called Judgment Night.
Okay.
And then the soundtrack was called the original motion picture soundtrack.
He's not playing from it, but just has to bring it.
I think it was... BJN? No. This album came out AJN.
You said M.
I didn't. You don't have good hearing.
I have great hearing.
You want to borrow the headphones?
Rewind.
All right.
Jonah, what's yours?
All right. This is mine.
Is it a period piece, or should I play something more current?
No, I have the music.
Okay.
God, Neil. So this takes place in about 94. There's a young Jonah Ray that
fresh from the movie theater.
Fresh from the movie theater. Just saw Judgment Night.
Still buzzing off that pivot.
Still buzzing off of seeing Ed Wood, the movie he'll be incessantly talking about for fucking the rest of his life. And he's he finds himself in a situation in school where everyone thinks he goes to an all boys Catholic school, and everyone thinks he's gay because every time he meets another guy that's really funny, he becomes very infatuated with them. And then this happens at the what grade are you in? 12th grade, like an 8th grade.
What? No, you're
no. Sorry, no, sorry. 12 years old. 8th grade.
Yeah, 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah,
7th. Yeah.
All right.
You're a junior when you're 16. So let's go back from there. So maybe right. Like a freshman. No. Yeah. Third.
We were only freshmen.
I think you're in junior high.
Yeah, you're in junior high.
Yeah.
Anyway, say it's at a dance, and then it's like everyone's saying it's like, you know, they think you're gay. They ask you if you're gay because like you. You think Nick Lindblad is really funny, and you talk about how funny he is all the time.
What's he up to?
I don't know. I've been meaning to check it out.
Facebook.
I don't have it anymore. Anyway, And then at the end of the movie, we're talking, and he's like,
"You and Nick."
Me and Nick. And like he's like, "Hey, so what's the fucking deal with you? Everyone says you're gay for me." And I go, "Listen, Nick, I don't know what I am, and I don't want to define myself. I don't even know what I like. Maybe I like nothing, maybe I like everything. But I do know this. Next year we're going to be in high school, and I'm getting out of this all-boys Catholic school, and I'm going to go to where girls are going to make fun of how fat I am." Yeah, that's right. They're going to mention how fat I am and how I have tits the size of their aunties.
Very local term.
Yeah. I got big tatas, brother. Anyway, go fuck yourself. I like everything. And this is Girls and Boys by Blur.
Oh, this is...
Well, that's coming of age, yeah.
That's very growing.
You're finally in mixed company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, one of my favorite songs.
That's a really good song.
It's a really good song.
And that is it.
Is that Pulp?
That's Blur.
Blur.
Blur, right.
Yeah.
And that is a, more than I think R2, that is the end of a movie, like, triumphant song.
Yes, yeah. That's a really good one.
That's a real Danny Boyle cut.
Mm-hmm. One of them Danny Boyle cuts.
Oh, Danny Boyle, the pipes are calling.
Ooh,
oh,
boy.
That's the song they wouldn't let me play at my father's funeral. Funny you should bring
Why?
It up.
Why can't you?
Can't play it in a church. It's a secular song.
Oh.
Found that out from a priest who was 15 years my junior.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, I'm going to take you out to the woodshed, son.
Was he as hot as the priest from...
Fleabag?
Fleabag season 2?
I don't watch that shit.
Why not?
It's pretty good. I haven't watched it.
Everyone says it's great.
That's a real good insight into Neil's reaction to things.
Everyone says it's great. I don't want
to... You should have had him go out to She's Got the Jack.
Oh.
Ooh.
Although, Claudia, if you're listening, I apologize.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Jonah Radio. We want to thank everyone for sticking with us this long. If you want your music, of course, played on this podcast, email it to us. A link. Bandcamp is what we prefer because we can give you a couple bucks if we play it. I spent $3 on every song I play from Bandcamp on this show.
In tribute to Limp Bizkit.
$3 bill.
Exactly. Yeah. And also anytime we don't buy a song, we have some hot chocolate starfish and hot dog flavored water. Mm-hmm. Is that the...
Oh,
and then we all watch The Fanatic. What's his movie? The Fanatic.
Did you?
I'm a fan addict.
Also, if you submit, include Instagram and Twitter handles if you have them.
Yeah,
makes things easier.
Really quick, we want to give an apology to
the guys that submitted.
I think it was their manager of sorts.
Yes.
We played Christine Williams. Thank you so much for sending us Hip Hop Song 96, a song we played last week
she sent it to us. I responded in a very
so after we played it, Cash said, "Was good, played on the show. You need to include other links to where they are on Twitter or Bandcamp. I'd include them in the show notes if you had, but you didn't. Kind of blew this one." Listen, Cash, being on the show means they blew it already.
That is very true. And I spoke in I was short-tempered, and I apologized. I reached out to her.
Clipped tone, I'd say.
Also, we already played the song. Cash, you could have just said, "Hey, we played it. Here's the thing. If you want to send us your thing." You were antagonistic. You're having a bad day. Had a bad day.
And I apologized to her. She already wrote back and said, "Sure, we all have bad days." So thank you, and I want to plug Intellect Music at Intellect Music. They're the manager of the 96 band that we played. So thank you so much for accepting my apology.
Yes, and if you liked any of the music, we have all the links in the show notes. We can, we want to help promote people. We want to let you know that if you follow these people on Twitter or Bandcamp or Facebook or anything like that, look them up. Find out about them. Let them know that you heard them on the show.
Yeah.
It really means a lot to them.
Yeah.
And us.
A little bit goes a long way.
Trying to be better as social media management to include all those tags and stuff. but I got about a 15-minute window of attention span for looking up things that I don't know.
So yep, we need them links. Thanks, everyone who's submitted station ideas. That means a lot to us.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. Those last ones were fucking great. The ones we play on the show today were my favorites in a long time.
None of us have ever seen an episode of The Rockford Files, yet we were all delighted that Jim Rockford
left us.
I don't know if I might have seen an episode of The Rockford Files, but I do remember it being on a TV theme song soundtrack that we used to like blast.
But a little.
That Simon and Simon Court is a fucking jam.
Well, there was the 90s. There was those compilations of like greatest TV themes came out.
That should be an episode.
Ooh, that's a good episode.
Ooh.
That's something to have.
Just pull instrumental tracks that will be the opening sound track or what is it, theme song to your TV show, and then you got to describe the TV show.
Ooh,
yeah, I like that.
All right, cool.
Also, Evan, we want to thank you for your amazing letter to us. That was very nice.
Big shout out, Evan.
Do all the stuff. Follow us. Tell your friends about us. We're doing better than ever before, and we're gonna end with another submitted track because they keep getting better and better.
Nintendo.
Nope. No. We're not doing it.
Stop playing your band. Stop playing your band.
Are you sure?
Yep. Pretty sure.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Available for free.
Nope.
On Bandcamp.
All right. Stop. All right. Now just skip it.
Also, yeah, it's all right, you guys, really quick. Guess the growls. Guess the growls.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you ready?
Do we know how to do this?
I'll play. Wait, play it again. It's one of those rap metal guys.
It's Korn. Neil, you got it.
Wait, hold on. We made an agreement. I was gonna play the old school beat.
That's all right. You got one. Let's end on a high note.
This is more of a game show vibe.
It really is. Doesn't scream.
Yeah.
You watch your mouth.
That's
Odin Kirk. Watch your mouth.
Yeah, that is Odin.
You watch your mouth.
Or Will Arnett. Grape Lady.
Yep. That's a guitar riff.
It is.
God damn it, get out of
there! Oh, this is Bob Odin.
Shit.
I'm really more into Odin Core now.
We should send this to him.
Yeah.
You should send this.
Why me?
He likes you more.
Because he signed my GTA paperwork.
Yeah. That's Bob Odenkirk.
That's Bob Odenkirk and a track I called Odenkirk Aside.
Soon on Better Call Saul season 4.
Shout out. We're going to do the that thing that Tim Timebaum does on his series. Yo. Shout outs to Chris McCaleb, editor of editor crew. Yeah. IATSE editor crew.
Local 700.
I want to give shout outs. To that, shout outs to Cash's wedding band, the Oak Ridge Santa Cruz Boys of
the Farmers Market.
The Farmers Market Boys. shout out to them. Anyway, we're gonna end with a band called Buffet.
Ooh,
songs
I love a buffet.
Songs called Too Many Things is off their album All American.
Are you sure it's not Buffett?
It might be Buffett. Either way,
Warren Buffett's side project.
Either way, all right. Thanks for watching. What?